This is Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the South Alabama Jaguars. Each week, hear from Jaguar student athletes, coaches, staff, and alumni as they uncover and relive great stories. With this week's guest, here's former All-Sunbelt Conference offensive lineman Chris May and Jaguar radio broadcaster JT Crabtree.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. You are tuned in to Inside Jag Nation. This is the official podcast of the South Alabama Athletics Programs. We sit down with former, current Jags, alumni, and just tell some great stories. I am joined by my co-host, the intramural all-star himself, JT Crabtree. JT, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, Chris. Glad to be back over here after a week off from the podcast. Good to be talking some Jags. It's exciting times.
Me too, man. I'm extremely excited to welcome our next guest. She reigns originally from the Sunshine State over in Florida, and she is the all-time career digs leader at the University of South Alabama. She is an avid cat fan, loves cats, is a fantastic person, the beautiful, the talented, the wonderful Miss Jenna Hassel. Jenna, how you doing?
I am great. How are you guys? Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're so glad that you're joining us.
Yeah, you guys hit those points perfectly. Definitely big cat lover. I was like trying not to laugh while you were saying that.
Well, good. That's always the point. Hilarious. So what we always like to do on our podcast is we'll kind of dive right in and get you to tell us just a little bit about what you've got going on today, and then we'll reverse engineer it, get you to tell us a little bit about how you ended up at South. So first, where are you today? What are you up to now since post-graduation?
Yeah, so right now I live in Jacksonville, Florida. So I don't know, that's like what, 6.5 hours from Mobile now?
That's about right.
And this is where I came, well, I guess not directly after graduation. I moved, so as soon as I finished my last season of volleyball, I actually moved to Macon, Georgia, and I worked for the Atlantic Sun Conference. Their headquarters is in Macon, Georgia, and I worked for did some championships for them as an internship while I was doing a master's degree online from South, actually. So I did that for a long time. I traveled around and worked a bunch of championships, which was super fun. And then I ended up getting an internship at Jacksonville University here in Jacksonville, Florida, in their academic center for their athletics programs. And that's kind of what I thought I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be an academic advisor for student athletes. Because I had a lot of amazing people at my time at South that really impacted my life. And I was doing a master's degree in educational leadership, college administration, so I could do that. And while I was there, I kind of realized that I was doing a lot of marketing stuff for them, you know, writing articles for the website, updating the website. I started a Twitter account for them. I started doing newsletters and stuff like that. And my undergrad is in public relations communication. So once that internship was over and I graduated with my master's degree, I kind of went into the marketing route. And so that's what I'm doing today. I worked at UNF for a while in their marketing department. And then I worked for Jacksonville Public Library for 2 years, which was really fun. And now I work for a health insurance company and I'm doing Medicare marketing, which is different, but a lot of fun too. So kind of a different path of what I thought I would take, but exactly where I think I need to be. So it's been good.
Well, Jenna, let's talk about what Jag Nation maybe knows you most for is playing volleyball at South. Let's start back at when did you start playing volleyball?
Well, I actually probably started in maybe fifth grade. My sister is 4 years older than me, and she played volleyball in middle school and, you know, I'd go and watch all of her games, and I always wanted to play so bad. And so the coach at the middle school would like kind of let me come up there every once in a while and play with them. And so I remember like having my dad in the front yard, like toss the ball to me so I could pass it back to him, you know, and when you're young and especially even when you're first playing volleyball, you know, your arms turn all red and purple from passing so often. And that was me out there in fifth grade playing. And yeah, I played all through middle school and high school.
So when did it kind of dawn on you that you could play at the next level and play Division I volleyball?
It was always a dream to play college volleyball, but I really never thought I was good enough. I don't think it was until I was maybe a sophomore or junior in high school where I had one of my travel volleyball coaches, you know, just like be like, "Oh, Jenna, you could really play at the next level." And I was like, "What? Are you serious? Like, you really think that I could?" Like, I just I don't know. I always wanted to, but I didn't really ever think that I was that good. And so after that, I kind of got a little bit more motivation, started working a little bit harder and kind of talking to my parents about, you know, going to college camps and sending out letters and all those things, trying to get recruited. So yeah, it's kind of a strange thing. I don't know. I really never thought that I would be able to.
In that recruiting process, what made you end up choosing South Alabama and making the move over here to Mobile?
Well, I'm from a small town, so I grew up in a place called Niceville, Florida, and it's very nice, but it's very small. And so if we wanted to play, you know, kind of a more competitive volleyball, we had to travel. So probably my sophomore and junior year, I was driving to Mobile 2 hours for travel volleyball practice. And our, like, you know, we did AAUs or whatever in Orlando, and our AAU coach was the volunteer assistant coach at South at the time. And so she kind of put in a good word with the head coach, Nicole Keyshock, at the time for me. And I knew I was playing with a lot of girls on the travel team who actually ended up committing to South. And so that was kind of a big determining factor that when I went on my visit there, I knew a bunch of the girls, you know, and just immediately felt like family. I think I went on maybe one other visit and I was like, this is where I want to play. But it was kind of weird because I didn't think I would stay at South. I was a walk-on my first semester, which I don't think a lot of people know.
I did not know that.
I don't know that either.
Yeah. So I went as a walk-on. They didn't have a scholarship for me my first semester. And she was like, you know, if you work hard and maybe your second year will be able to give you a semester, a scholarship. But I was from out of state. So my parents were basically like, if you don't get a scholarship second semester, you know, we're going to have to pull you out and take you to a Florida school so I can get my Bright Futures scholarships and stuff like that. And so ended up starting my freshman year, starting over another senior libero, and I ended up getting a full ride second semester. So it worked out perfectly. But, yeah, I didn't think I would be able to stay. I was, like, going in hopes that I would be able to stay and, you know, hoping that it would work out, and it did. It was perfect.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't know that you had walked on here. I have so much respect for people that walked on. I'll be honest with you, if I didn't get a scholarship, there's no way I would have tried to compete at the next level, just because it takes so much effort and just dedication and discipline to put into it. And then the fact that you were able to get here, earn the scholarship, and then, you know, become a legend among
I don't know about that.
Among volleyball lore, so.
Absolutely. And then just, like, you know, trying to make it feasible, too. Like, my parents, like, I ended up getting in-state tuition for South, actually, because they give in-state tuition two counties over on either side in Florida and Mississippi. And my grandparents lived in one of those counties in Florida. And so I moved in with my grandpa and took his residency so that I could get cheaper tuition to South Alabama so I could make it work. Yeah, it was a whole thing. I got a new driver's license, everything. I'm glad we did it, though.
How do you feel like your time here as a JAG and as a student athlete has how do you feel like that has impacted where and who you are today?
I mean, you know, just being an athlete in general, like, you know, playing in college definitely takes it to another level, obviously. But I, you know, it just is my mentality through everything I do. You know, being at work, just knowing that I need to be busy and, you know, I'm not going to just sit there and be bored. Like, I'm constantly asking, like, what else can I do? Or if I don't have anything to do, you know, I'm trying to make something up to be impactful for the, you know, for the team, kind of. That's how you think about it. Like, I want to be here and I want to make a difference because this is a team, you know, just like I was on a team itself. So it's impacted everything.
I always say that if I ever get to a point to where I'm hiring, firing, making any decisions, if I ever get a resume that comes across my desk that has student athlete or military on it, I could care less about their experience. I'm at least sitting down and interviewing them. Just because of the dedication and everything that it takes to apply yourself to not only play the sport but also, you know, remain eligible at the same time, and all the just transitions of that. And things just kind of flow together. Like you said, just learning how to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, be a part of a team. I don't think that there's anything other than a team sport that can really teach you that outside of the military to the extent that a sport that, you know, college athletics does.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the mental toughness too. Like, you know, if you're going through a busy season at work, you know, being able to, you know, put your nose down and just grind and know that, you know, you're going to get through it, and eventually, the lull will come. But you know, it's just a lot of people get fatigued very easily because they're not used to having that hard work. So I think student athletes, you know, make longer lasting employees as well because they can kind of get through those rough patches.
Yeah, I agree with that. We did a seal fit workout when I was that was going into my junior year. It was awful. But anyways, their whole thing was embrace the suck. Just embrace the suck. This is going to be terrible. You're going to work out for 5 hours straight. Just embrace it and figure out a way to, you know, kind of get through it. And I think I think you hit the nail on the head right there. That's something that really athletes really have to hone into. I mean, regular students do too, but when you add that athlete piece on top of it, it's just kind of a little bit different game. Along those same lines, Jenna, what is some advice that you would give to an incoming or current student athlete?
I was thinking about this. I think that the one thing that I wish I would have done when I was an athlete is really take advantage of all the resources that are available to you. The one piece that I feel like I missed out on, and I, you know, sometimes think, like, if I would have just paid attention to this one thing, one aspect of my game, would I have been that much better? And that's the nutrition aspect of being an athlete. And, you know, now I do, I do CrossFit and stuff now and kind of have learned to pay more attention to what I'm eating. And it's, you know, I can see the results in the gym. And so I wish, you know, just being a, you know, college student going, you know, we all went to, you know, McDonald's at midnight and, you know, went to Fusakli's every day and stuff like that. So I just wish that I would have paid a little bit more attention to the nutrition aspect to see how much it would have elevated my performance on the court. I think that was a big thing that, you know, we did the nutrition talk every year and we'd all be like, oh yeah, we're going to do it. And then peer pressure, we get to the calf and, you know, we're eating cereal for, you know, for lunch and stupid stuff like that. So I would definitely say just make sure you do everything that you can to make it the best 4 years, you know, athletically for sure. And, you know, taking advantage of all the other things like the tutoring and the student athlete center and stuff like that.
I agree with that. You can't forget Hungry Howie's either. That was always a great place.
Oh my gosh. No one here likes Hungry Howie's like we did. I'm telling you, I'm always like, oh, let's get Hungry Howie's for dinner for pizza. And everyone's like, ew, why would you eat Hungry Howie's? Are you kidding me? No one knows. It's ridiculous.
The best was my freshman year here. Firehouse. I'd never heard of Firehouse until I moved down here. The only thing that we had was Subway, and I went with Drew Dierman and another guy that played offensive line that transferred a little bit. Yeah, Heavy D.
But can you say the name Drew Dierman without saying Heavy?
You really
can. No, you
can. And he sells dump trucks now. Like, oh, what more perfect an avenue for him to work in?
That's so true.
But he took me to Firehouse, and they had if you bought a sub, you got a free combo. You got a free drink and chips. And it was like, dude, you could get a whole meal for like $6. And it was like, oh, my gosh. Dude, we ate there like every day.
Same.
That first summer, we didn't have a calf yet. So we got a stipend for our food instead of, you know, them giving us a meal plan. They literally gave us money that was just a stipend for it. So, I mean, we probably spent 30 to 40% of our stipend checks on on eating at Firehouse. It was such a good deal right after class. I mean, you just couldn't beat it. I think that's so good though. I mean, the nutrition piece is something that a lot of athletes, I mean, even professional athletes don't pay attention to. And you look at guys like LeBron James, who's, you know, kind of on the extreme side of this, but I think that that article came out last year that he spends like over $1 million a year on his body, which is outrageous. But you see it's given him longevity to play in the NBA for, you know, almost 20 years and be the best athlete in the NBA for those 20 years. And that nutrition side of it is a huge thing, because I know I used to eat terrible when I was in college, and I don't eat great now.
What you do.
Exactly. Somebody told me once, they're like, look, you know, and obviously I played offensive line, so this example, you'll understand, doesn't completely translate, but they would always say, look, dude, if you're going to fuel a race car, if you're going to fuel a Ferrari, you don't put 87 fuel in it. You put 93. For us, it was more of, you don't put, you know, 87 fuel in a Hummer or something. I don't know. We definitely work Ferraris, but but I mean, you have to put in the right type of fuel to be able to perform, because if you don't, you're going to cramp up. I definitely experienced that. Never the most fun thing in the world, for sure.
Right.
So getting to your point, getting to where you're at, this is one question that we always like to ask everybody that comes on the show. Nobody gets to a point of being successful in life in any aspect without having people around them that have helped them. Who would you say is the most impactful person in your life up to this point?
And are we talking volleyball or just like in life?
Both.
Okay. I would say for most impactful for volleyball, I had the same volleyball coach through middle school, all 3 years I had her. And then as soon as I moved into our high school, which is in town, she moved to the high school. So she was my volleyball coach for 7 years. And she just did such a good job of making everyone, I mean, this is going to sound so fluffy, but made everyone feel so important. You know, we were young, and made us all feel like we were included. And like, you know, she just made every volleyball game the biggest deal and just made it so much fun. That was Coach Hagberg. And you know Jenica Hagberg. It was her mom was my volleyball coach.
Okay,
so I would
gotcha.
Say through volleyball, she had the biggest impact in developing me from a young age as a player and gave me a lot of confidence. I don't know. In life, definitely, obviously, my parents are a huge factor. My dad played college baseball, and I think he always, you know, wanted me to play softball secretly, but I was obviously a lot better at volleyball than I was at softball. So, you know, he always, you know, pushed me to follow that dream, even though it wasn't his pick for me. But, you know, I remember there was one time we played at the University of Arkansas Little Rock, and my dad surprised me at the game, and we had lost like so bad. Little Rock was really always really good. In the Sun Belt, and my dad was there at the game, and I just like started bawling, crying. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we just had this horrible loss, and then just to see my dad like not expecting it was pretty cool.
What would you say is Jenna Hassell's definition of success?
This is a hard one. I was wondering if you would ask me like you asked Ross, like if it was like at the end of the day, what is my definition of success? Because at the end of the day, if I haven't taken myself too seriously, I've made an impact in my, you know, on my coworkers somehow, like helping them, doing my part, making someone's life easier, and I am still happy at the end of the day. That is a successful day to me. You know, life is like stressful enough that you don't need to take yourself or your job or anything that seriously, in my opinion. It's just more fun if you are a little lighthearted about it, you know, and can just get home and not take it all that stress with you. So I don't know. I think I would define success similarly. You can, you know, make an impact, not take yourself too seriously, and still have a lot of fun and be happy. I don't know if that sounds really cheesy or not, but that's how I feel sometimes at the end of the day. And I think that's pretty good.
No, I like it. And speaking of lighthearted, let's make it lighthearted here. Jenna, we've gone back into the archives on USAJaguars.com.
We have
pulled up your player profile, and we're going to start doing this for any former student athlete we have on here. We're going to see just how accurate this player profile still is. So let's start with your favorite movie. You listed Mean Girls. Is that still your favorite movie?
Still a great movie. I don't know. Definitely most quoted. I'm gonna keep that. Yeah, definitely Mean Girl.
We're recording this on a Wednesday. We are not wearing pants.
Oh, I am.
You can't sit with us.
No.
You can't podcast with us, Jenna.
Okay, your next one. Favorite book, Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Is that still your favorite?
This is still a great book. I have read a lot of books since I left the South. I worked at a library for 2 years, so, and I did a library podcast, so I like was always reading because I knew people would ask me what my favorite book was. So,
and side note on that, you interviewed R.L. Stein, and if I remember correctly, you told me he did give you goosebumps.
He did. Oh man, yes.
Dad joke there for anybody that got that.
Oh yeah, R.L. Stein, the king of goosebumps. He was awesome. I had a dream about him. I told him that he scared me in my dreams, and so he was still scaring people well into their late 20s. see. Favorite book? Okay, I'll give you my favorite book I read this year probably was Educated by Tara Westover. It's a nonfiction, but it was really, really good.
All right, our next one. Favorite team, the Atlanta Braves.
Got to say, see, living in Florida, I don't get to watch the Atlanta Braves because they don't come on down here. I get the Tampa Bay team. So I'm going to have to be a bandwagon fan here and say the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
Because I'm a bandwagon fan, and I live here now, and I go all game.
All right. Awesome. All right, last one. Your favorite musical artist. You listed Charlie Hall and Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, I'm going to say those aren't accurate anymore either. I'm going to say Taylor Swift and
Post Malone.
Chris Stapleton.
Yeah. Chris,
Chris Stapleton. I don't know.
Taylor Swift and Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, opposite ends of the spectrum, but still great artists.
I don't even know who Charlie Hall is. So I'm just going to have a
I'm glad that you said it because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I don't have a clue who that is. I know who Dave Matthews Band is because Ross played it constantly.
Oh, yeah. Ross's favorite. No, Charlie Hall is like he's kind of like an older, like, Christian artist.
Okay.
I don't think he even has any new music, but he was good back in the day.
Okay. All right. So, not too bad. You're about 50-50 on the favorites there. Not too bad.
I think that I probably picked all those out pretty quickly. I'm sure that I had to submit it, and I was last minute on submitting those anyways. That was fun. I saw those. I was like, oh, man, this is my old profile.
Yeah, I would hate to see mine. Mine would probably be pretty bad.
Oh, don't worry, Chris. It's
I figured it was.
Yeah,
as soon as you sent me that text, I was like, oh, no. Just don't go back diving into deep Facebook pictures.
Oh, gosh. Oh, the long hair, Chris.
Well, that one was okay. Before that was when I had, the little Justin Bieber haircut.
The punk Bieber.
The punk swoop? Bieber, yeah. The swoop.
I remember the swoop, yep.
That was a long time. That was back before you were braiding my hair, though.
I still remember a picture. No, it was on your driver's license, I think. I remember seeing your driver's license once and being like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You got the Hoover swoop.
Yeah, the Hoover swoop. That's exactly what it was. We had some good times at the Grove.
Oh, man. That was so fun.
On that same line, what would you say is your favorite memory of your time as a Jag?
I know everyone has a hard time with this.
It's always hard to pinpoint just one. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say on the court, some of my favorite times were – celebrating. If anyone that has seen me play volleyball knows that I love to celebrate and scream really loud. Every single picture of me from my time at South on the court, my mouth is open because I'm yelling something, I'm sure. So I love celebrating blocks, and all my teammates, Olivia Moeller and everyone, all the tall girls got the blocks. I love celebrating behind them. My favorite memories would just be, I don't know. I loved getting to meet so many different people just through athletics, especially, coming from a small town. I met people I would have never run into if I wasn't a student athlete. And just seeing everyone coming to this one town, Mobile, from all over the country, and kind of learning, the different cultures and the blend of everyone there for one goal, to be successful in their sport was pretty cool. And I think that is probably one of the things that has really helped me, especially throughout my working career, working with different personalities and people from different parts of the world and stuff like that. It definitely helped a ton being around all those different types of people at South.
That's awesome. Jenna Hassel, former volleyball student athlete for South Alabama, joining us here on Inside Jag Nation. Jenna, that's going to do it. Appreciate your time, and thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit.
Hey, thank you guys so much. And I just got to say, I am honored to be your first female student-athlete on the podcast.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. I was listening today, and I was like, hey, I'm going to be the first female student-athlete.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, rightfully so. You were one of the first names that we wrote down, because I reached out to you when me and JT kind of had this idea, because you had some experience in the podcast, and you gave me some great advice, some stuff that we used in this interview tonight, and just extremely thankful for that, and just extremely thankful for you coming on the show with us. Very, very worthy first female student athlete, to say the least.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, from the first time you told me about this idea, it was brilliant. I love this so much, and I'm really enjoying listening. So keep it up, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and talking with us. And that's going to put a bow on this episode of Inside Jag Nation. You can catch a new one every week on Monday on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and on iHeartRadio. For Jenna and for Chris, I'm JT Crabtree. We'll see you guys next time.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Weekly episodes can be found for free on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio by simply searching South Alabama Jaguars. You can also go to usajaguars.com and select the Multimedia tab. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!